This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Three, four, five.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can and kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. 5:05 on The Fan, Football Friday. Fantastic fan-frenzied Football Friday. Joey Harrington, former Duck quarterback, NFL quarterback, exclusively with us here on The Fan in studio every Friday at 5:30, and his first appearance this football season is in 25 minutes. We will discuss his thoughts on Justin Herbert and Oregon losing the game against Auburn. What really cost the Ducks from the Joey Harrington perspective? And is the risk worth the reward with me first players like Antonio Brown? This from a guy who's been there. The quarterback perspective, Joey Harrington. That's at 5:30. We've got Hugh Freeze heroics talk coming up. We'll probably have to slide that into the club because in our next segment, it is set your college football DVR time.
Where we yes.
Are. I love that segment.
I love this segment.
That's a fun segment because it condenses all of college football's weekend into one. And we'll tell you what you need to know, when games are on, who's playing.
And I'm not sure if you do this every Saturday or I do it like Tuesday before the week. I look ahead at the schedule and I start picking out like when I should be doing things on Saturday and when I need to be on the couch watching the games. And I'm scanning days in advance the schedule just to kind of get a feel. It's just exciting.
The reason I do that is because I love to play golf on the weekends. And so I've got to build my tee times around when the games I need to watch are on. So we'll do that in our next segment. Big Souk is out today. If you're wondering why he's so quiet, he's got the day off. He'll be back on Monday. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on The Fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
You know, Sharbo is in, and he is saying that he feels like my pronunciation of the word Oregon is like Big Souk's Jared Goff. Do you think that's true?
Because you didn't even notice it?
I didn't notice it.
And then you did it again two times later.
Yeah, I feel like I can't say the word Oregon.
Well, you can.
But did I say it right that time?
Yes, but Oregon. In the flow of this, nope, you just said Oregon.
Really?
In the flow of a sentence, I think you say Oregon naturally for whatever reason.
Dadgummit.
There you go.
You found it.
Number five.
It's my kryptonite. The Seattle Mariners
Good
were...
Good thing you're not an Oregon radio show.
Yeah, no kidding. The Seattle Mariners were unceremoniously eliminated from postseason contention Wednesday night, and they weren't even playing. It was an off day, but they got bounced by way of the Indians beating the White Sox. Look, the Mariners weren't going to make it anyway. But remember when they were 13-2 to start the season?
I remember.
Well, this means the longest playoff drought in North American sports continues. The M's have not made the postseason since 2001. That is 18 seasons. If you're wondering, in the NFL, the longest drought is the Cleveland Browns. They're going on 16 years. In the NBA, any guesses? Longest playoff drought?
Ooh.
I don't think you'd get this because this team was... It feels like they were good not too long ago.
The Phoenix Suns.
No, it's the Kings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the Suns had... Yeah, the Kings, 13 years, but it doesn't feel like that long ago when they were really good.
Yeah.
But that was the early, you know...
I was thinking the Suns' bad had stretched a little further than it has. because they've been bad for a little bit now. But
and in the NHL, it's the Sabres, 8 years. One major college football coach.
That's
already
amazing that 8 years is the longest in the NHL.
Yeah. One major college football coach already gets the dreaded AD vote of confidence. And that is South Carolina's Will Muschamp. Now, he just lost to Mack Brown, which in most cases is a fireable offense on the spot, even if on the tarmac of the airport. But the Cox AD said he went over and met with Muschamp, and they had a nice chat. Look, he'll be gone.
They had a nice chat.
Yeah, he'll be gone. He'll be gone by...
That nice chat was something like, hey, yeah, get your S together or you're gone.
That dude, by the way...
Have a nice day.
He's a hammer coordinator, but he's gonna get fired by South Carolina, and he's gonna go somewhere and be an awesome coordinator. But what would South Carolina do? They wouldn't hire Art Briles, would they? No, they wouldn't.
Of course they would.
Oh, you're right. They probably would. Steve Spurrier, what's he doing? He's only 74. Do a lot worse than that. Hell, he'd probably beat Mack Brown. Stanford quarterback KJ Costello officially out for the USC game this weekend due to that head injury. That means it is a battle of backup quarterbacks. We should have played the Know Your Backup Quarterback game for the Pac-12.
That would have gone way worse than the Know Your Backup Quarterback game.
Yeah, if you missed it. NFL backup quarterback game was yesterday, and Suk and Mike won. Hardest year ever. They got 22.
Well,
and the over-under was 20.
And you didn't even finish. We got 22, and then we didn't do the last division.
So it'll be freshman Caden Slovis, if I'm pronouncing that right, he plays for USC, against Stanford's Davis Mills. Mills is a junior. The Trojans are a slight favorite. One Pac-12 team is in action tonight. Arizona State's taking on Sacramento State. It's expected to be 103 degrees at kickoff. Also heard from the boss today, who's a big Texas honk, that the UT-LSU game is supposed to be over 100 degrees at kickoff of that game tomorrow. Oregon, Nevada on the Fan tomorrow. Our coverage begins at
number 2, 9 a.m. with Center in the Sand.
Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill was caught on tape discussing how his 3-year-old son got a broken arm, i.e., child abuse. Made for a wild offseason for that guy, but he was not punished by the NFL because the league couldn't conclude that he violated the personal conduct policy. Fast forward to today, and Hill gets paid. 3 years, $54 million extension with the Chiefs. It makes him one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL. He will get $35.5 million guaranteed. So he's now going to make roughly $18 million per year, which would tie him for second at his position with Odell Beckham. The highest paid receiver is actually the Saints, Michael Thomas. So couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, right? Tyreek Hill,
right.
$54 million.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, if you're just getting in your car and you haven't heard any hot sports news today, it is that Antonio Brown is back. He will play in week one with the Oakland Raiders. You want to talk about a 180. Antonio Brown spoke to his Raiders teammates after his agent explained to him that he has to get to week one in order to get paid. I added that part in there, but that, I guarantee that's what happened. The receiver was reportedly tearful and apologetic. John Gruden says he expects Brown to play Monday night when they take on Denver. I'm sorry, Mike, but your Broncos will have to deal with Antonio Brown. How do you think he does?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to just go off for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns because, of course, he is. That's Antonio Brown.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I mean, no, because that's my favorite team in the Broncos, but that would be really funny for the storyline, yes.
What if he gets nothing and then starts pointing fingers?
Well, then, what would you prefer? I think I'd prefer him to go off for the storyline.
Yes. Yeah, I
want
to see him.
I don't want more drama. Yeah. This drama is annoying me.
I think I'd like to see him have a big game. What the hell? But he denies a dust-up with GM Mike Mayock. Rather, he says he just spoke to him man-to-man. It also came out today that he called Mayock a cracker, and Brown says he would never use that language. Either way, both Gruden and Antonio Brown, although a silent Mike Mayock hasn't said anything, but Brown and Gruden are both saying, hey, it's time to move on. So he will be playing on Monday night. There is your Hot 5 at 5. It is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's set your college football DVR, get you ready for your day tomorrow. Coming up next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, football finger audio, the heroics of the great Hugh Freeze. That'll be, that'll actually be in the club. In our next segment, Joey Harrington's going to be in here, and we will get the quarterback perspective on changing plays at the line of scrimmage in college. That's a big topic with regards to the autonomy Justin Herbert has for the Ducks. What does Joey think about that? That will be next. But right now, cue the music there, Maestro. It is time for setting your college football DVR. We know you're busy on Saturdays. You got a lot going on. The weather's still good. So you need to know what you need to watch and what you can skip. Tonight, there is football. 9 o'clock on Pac-12 Network, Arizona State is playing Sacramento State.
That would be 7 o'clock, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you noticed that, okay, so for setting your college football DVR, I always pull up the television schedule by way of a website. It's so random.
It's the LSU forum.
Yes. Why is it?
I've used that before, but that's central, right?
It's central, yeah. I just figured that out. But why is it that the best college football television schedule on the internet is at lsufootball.net?
I think the best one is ESPN's schedule, personally, because they show you all the channels right there and easy to look at.
Well, so does this one.
Yeah, but I looked at that one. This one's way cleaner, in my opinion, but I don't know. That one is a very good schedule, though.
So Arizona State plays Sac State tonight. It's supposed to be 103 degrees. Arizona State has a pretty nice little freshman quarterback. His name's Jaden Daniels. If you're not doing anything tonight, maybe lay your eyes on him. He's the highest-rated quarterback in Arizona State history. And he has poise and composure, which is the opposite of that UCLA kid. So he's, he's supposedly pretty good. He was sacked 5 times last week, but he runs the RPOs well. And he says sometimes everyone forgets he's a freshman. Arizona State, by the way, played 20 freshmen against Kent State. 20.
And they looked bad in the first half and then wound up pulling away late in that game. This is a...
But remember, football's football.
Football's football. Also tonight, Boise State, 24th ranked team in the country, plays Marshall 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
ESPN2 if you're a...
The Broncos.
Boise State fan or Mountain West fan.
Man, you got to love the Broncos. They just keep on ticking, man. Looked like they were down and out last week against Florida State and they came back and won.
Made me so happy they came back to win that game.
All right. Let's go to tomorrow, the 9 a.m. time slot. One of the better games is Syracuse, Maryland. Unfortunately, that's on ESPN.
Unfortunately?
Well, I mean... Look,
Mike, don't you mean fortunately?
No, I don't. I meant what I said. Syracuse, come on. Maryland, even come on more.
Syracuse is ranked.
I know, but Maryland, I think
the Orange are pretty good now.
I know they are.
Because Dino Babers is great, and I love him forever, and he's never leaving.
Let's not try to corkscrew Syracuse, Maryland into something you got to watch. If you're going to miss the 9 a.m. slot tomorrow, you're not missing much.
That's probably the best time to miss tomorrow, yes.
Cincinnati's playing at Ohio State. Cincinnati's the team that just beat UCLA. And remember, their coach is Luke Fickle, and he was a coordinator at Ohio State, so he knows Ohio State well. I'm not sure how much that matters. I watched Ohio State last weekend, and that new quarterback, Justin Fields, looked great.
Yes, he did.
He will be better tested in this game, though. Cincinnati has a good defense. But this is a different animal for the Bearcats, because beating UCLA doesn't seem all that hard. What else do we have? Rutgers at Iowa? No.
Michigan Army might be okay.
All right, Michigan Army. Where's that? Yeah, that's at Michigan. All right, there's your 9 a.m. slate. Now, there are some good games early, not 9 a.m. early, but in the 11:30 time slot. Here's a sneaky one. Nebraska is playing at Colorado.
That's 12:30.
I'm sorry, what?
That's at 12:30.
Yeah, my math's off.
Just want to make sure everyone out here knows time the games are on.
Maybe the best television schedule isn't at lsufootball.net. If you can't read
If you can't add 2 hours every single time or subtract 2 hours.
My apologies. 12:30. I was looking at the vaunted North Carolina State Wolfpacks game against Western Carolina, which is at 11:30. Yeah, so let's go to...
That's at 9:30.
Yeah. That's right. 8:30. Okay. Focus. 12:30, Nebraska, Colorado. Also 12:30, Texas A&M, Clemson. Okay, so those are good
games. Yeah, I think the Nebraska-Colorado game is really interesting because Scott Frost has not done a great job early at Nebraska. And as Suk likes to talk about, the Chenault kid at Colorado is really good, maybe the best receiver in the country.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that guy play, he is it's so random that he's at Colorado, but he is legit. Yep. They're like, so they have a stud wide receiver at Colorado. His name is Laviska Chenault Jr., and they're like the opposite of Oregon. So you want to see what a stretch the field receiver on the outside does for an offense? Watch them.
And they still have Montez at quarterback, and he's good.
He's good. Yeah, he can sling it. So that is a good game. Nebraska, so Colorado is interesting. You know, that's a winnable game for a Pac-12 team that not many expected much from, but was impressive in week one. Remember, they hammered Colorado State. So if they beat Nebraska, they're 2-0 with two fairly quality wins. You know, they won in Lincoln last year, and Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, he was awful last week. So keep an eye on that one at 12:30. And by the way, old friend Eric Chinander is the defensive coordinator at Nebraska.
Hmm.
And he's going to have to dial up some pressure on Montez. Then the Texas A&M Clemson game is at 12:30, and many believe that Texas A&M is the one team on Clemson's schedule that can cover a 17-point spread, and that's what the spread is on this game. Jimbo Fisher.
They won't, though.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. We had our gambling expert Colin Wilson on earlier from Action Network, and he said he thinks Clemson covers easily. Jimbo Fisher as a double-digit underdog, which he is in this instance. He's been a double-digit dog four times in his career. He is 3-0-1 against the spread. I think this is huge for Texas A&M. You know, they played him close last year. Jimbo was 9-4 last year, so they were good. But if he wins this game, this is sort of the coming out party or return to the upper echelon that Texas A&M needs and they thought they were getting with Jimbo Fisher. So basically the next two games for Clemson could be their season. These are two of the toughest games they'll have all year. They'll play Texas A&M this weekend, and then they'll play at Syracuse next weekend.
So those I think the Cues have a chance to keep that one close.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Those are your 12:30 games. They played them tough last year.
And the year before they won.
Did they?
Yep.
No one remembers that. Except for you. What else? San Diego State, UCLA, 1:15, Pac-12 Network. UCLA.
That's a weird start time.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. UCLA's got to get it together. Washington State is hosting Northern Colorado this week. That will be Pac-12 Network Washington game at 2.
Which I do not believe we can get if you're like a Portland area person, because unless you have a really big package.
I'll tell you what. Well, I have a really big package, but if I have Pac-12 Washington, I don't know it. Well, no, I don't. I used to have DirecTV. I don't have anything now.
All I have is Pac-12 Oregon in HD. No, I have Pac-12 Network National in HD and then Pac-12 Oregon in standard def.
So do you have to buy those regional Pac-12 networks?
I don't know how that works. I think they just give you the one that you're living in. So if you live in Southwest Washington, you probably have the Washington one.
I have never once seen those. Hell, I rarely even see Pac-12 Network. BYU is playing at Tennessee. Interesting. 4 o'clock ESPN. Our gambling expert, Colin Wilson, said, take BYU. Tennessee sucks. That's exactly what he said. Then, 4:30, LSU is at Texas. ABC. This is a good one. This is the game of the week right there.
Number 6 versus number 9.
Tom Herman, 12-2 against the spread as an underdog. That's crazy. And then Mr. Bayou, 6-2 against the spread against top 10 teams. So these are two.
I'm glad you wouldn't have that Ralph or Sal LaFouche. You wouldn't have ever got past number one. Anyway.
Yeah, you betting against that guy?
Come on, man. No, I don't think I am.
Come on, man. This is a great game. LSU has one of the top defenses in the country. Texas, under Tom Herman, is pointed in the right direction. But something tells me, you know, the thing about LSU now, if you've seen them yet, is with Ogeron there now, they can actually throw the ball. Like, you think of LSU as defense and then, you know, run the ball and no quarterback. They can actually throw it.
Even though that's true, I have this gut feeling this is going to be like 10-7.
It could
final
be.
Score.
It could be. Herman, you know, Tom Herman's good at, you know, They could drag them down into the mud. That's going to be a great game. I look forward to that. And then Nevada, Oregon is also at 4:30. You know, the Wolfpack beat Purdue last week. I'll ask Joey Harrington about this, but I don't know if there will be a hangover for Oregon. I mean, this is one of those games where if Oregon gets sloppy, then this can be closer than you probably think. But what you got to do in this one is ride that offensive line, take care of the football, and you'll be fine. More than fine. This is one of those games where early on, if you don't come out with your best stuff, you look at the score and go, what the hell? But in the end, the defense, the offensive line, and then Justin Herbert should win out. But that game will be on Pac-12 Network at...
and right here on the
4:30. And then moving on to the night games, 6:30 is Cal Washington. That's
7:30.
Damn it. Why am I so stupid? Don't answer that. 7:30 is Cal Washington. That's on FS1. Now, interesting, Huskies are 2 touchdown favorites, but Cal's defense is legit. Now, Jacob Eason, the new Washington quarterback, he'll be tested unlike last week. It was Eastern Washington. So Cal's defense will test him. This will be a good test for him. And it's a revenge game for the Dogs. They lost to Cal last year, if you remember. If Cal doesn't turn it over, could be a close one here, but if they get down early, like they can't. Cal can't come back. They can't come from behind. So they'll get suffocated if they get down early. I'm not sure they have enough offense to win that game. And then Stanford USC is at 7:30. And this is a battle of backup quarterbacks, the freshman for USC and Davis Mills, the junior for Stanford. The better backup may be the difference in that game. And then very, 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 very late, and it's not on TV, but it is on Facebook, is Oregon State, Hawaii.
Which is technically at 8:59 p.m.
Okay. Why?
I'm assuming because they don't want a game to start at midnight on the East Coast, so 11:59 sounds way better.
All right. Oregon State got gashed on the ground by Oklahoma State. Hawaii, though, can't run the ball, so that's good. Hawaii likes to sling it. This may be why the Beavers have a shot here. They just got to find a way to get some sort of pressure on the quarterbacks. If they can't, they're going to need to control the clock. They're going to need to run the ball and give its defense the best chance to hold up against Hawaii. But remember this one, too, a little side note. That Hawaii coach was the one who was pissed at Oregon State for the recruiting flyers they sent to the kids and such?
Yep.
So really bad blood here.
Isn't it Rolovich or something like that? Isn't that the name of their coach?
Yeah, that's right. And hey, if you want to go back and listen, every Friday at 3:30, for those of you that are just now getting in your cars, you're in the commute and you miss our 3 o'clock hour, every Friday at 3:30, we have a new gambling guru from the Action Network. His name is Colin Wilson. He's going to be on with us. And today, he said he is betting Oregon State. Here's how he put it, very plainly. He said, Oregon State is almost a touchdown underdog to Hawaii. Hawaii was an 11-point underdog to Arizona. So they win that game, and now they're 7 points better than Oregon State? He says, no. The value here is on the Beavers. But good luck seeing it. Although, I don't know. Will you watch on Facebook?
I will attempt to.
Because I'm going to have to use my wife's account.
The nice thing, I still have a Facebook, but the nice thing about it is that after a long day of watching football, when it's that time, you just kind of want to not watch football. So you can put something else on the TV or do whatever, but since it's on Facebook, just put it on your phone, on your laptop, and just leave it on the side, and you can kind of check it periodically.
See, I go the other way. I think that football games at odd times when you're not normally used to watching football games is great. Like early morning Saturday, you know, like when they go over to Ireland or whatever. The Notre Dame went over there and played, and the game's on. You wake up, and the game's on. 9 p.m.? I mean, you're talking, you know, that game will go to midnight if I can keep my eyes open.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is that it is nice when it's at an odd time, but if you've just spent the entire day watching football, your eyes start to glaze over at a certain point.
Yeah, but I don't know about you, man. I can't watch football all day.
I did last week. That's why I'm
did
saying
you?
That.
You yes. doing that again tomorrow?
Because
your cues, you got to be up bright and early.
Yeah, I am planning on going out with the wife in the afternoon session and finding the Clemson game on TV somewhere. So we're going to go out and have some food and we'll watch it somewhere and then we'll go back home. So I'll be watching the game, but it won't just be like glued on the couch, never moving.
Don't worry about 9 a.m. tomorrow. You've got 12:30 Texas A&M Clemson. And then you've got 4:30, LSU, Texas,
Oregon, Nevada.
And then everything else that at least pertains to us out west is a little bit later. That's your day tomorrow. Coming up next, Joey Harrington in studio. First, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
5:30 on Fridays here on The Fan. It will be Joey Harrington in studio. The world famous NFL quarterback, former Oregon Duck, handsome lad, and a man who was almost run over by us at Black Butte 2 weeks ago.
Hi. Well, had it not been for my nimble maneuvering, this segment would not be happening.
It wouldn't, and I'd probably be in jail. Now, here's the thing.
Why aren't you, by the way?
That's a good question. I'm quite lucky.
I'm gonna investigate that when we get done.
So you were at Black Butte.
Indeed.
And we stop at a four-way stop.
Okay.
And here comes this guy on one of those hoverboard, like, golf cart things?
A golf board, but go ahead.
Is that what they're called?
It's called a golf board.
See, I'm hip. I know.
I'm hip. I'm cool.
Okay, so golf board thing.
Golf board thing.
And he's got two kids on the front, and he's got his golf bag hanging off of his shoulder. And we almost run him over. Mm-hmm. A little confusion as to who stopped first, but it's neither here nor there. Likely my fault. It was Joey Harrington. Unbelievable. What is that thing?
Well, that, as my friend from Christmas Story, the dad from Christmas Story would say, it's a major award. It's a major award. I won that. So at the, that's not a major award. That looks like a lamp. Well, it is a lamp, but I won it. You say you won that? Battle at Bandon, Safeway Foundation, Battle at Bandon this year. You've played.
Love that. Great tournament.
We had an incredible sponsor, a generous gift from Pepsi that bought and donated a golf board, a local company out of Bend, and I'm sure you've seen them, as a prize for one of our events.
They have them at Tetherow.
They do. That's where they started, actually. There you go. And so, lo and behold, you know, I might have hit a 65-yard wedge shot to about, you know, 2.5 feet.
Nice.
To walk away with that board. And so, you know, I was like, well, I might as well just, you know, just keep it over there. And so,
that's smart.
We were just, you know, just tootling around. I had the boys. My wife was running Hood to Coast. It was just me and the guys over there. And so I was like, hey, let's go, let's ride this thing down to the course, play a little quick nine, and then ride back. And it was a lot of fun.
What's the verdict? Are those things worthwhile on the course?
It is a fantastically fun mode of transportation. I'm a purist. I mean, if I'm speaking honestly, I'm a walker. I like to walk when I'm playing golf.
I do too.
But it's a great way just to play a quick round, to have some fun. And, you know, I got two kids that I would love to have them play golf as they get older. And it's a fun way to kind of get them out there. Like, hey, let's go play nine holes. And my youngest is like, oh, Dad, I don't want to. Hey, you can ride the golf board. All right, let's go.
Boom.
I'm in.
Boom.
And then he hits two good shots. And he's like, hey, Dad, can we go play golf again?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Got him hooked.
He's hooked.
I love it. Well, Joey's going to be with us every Friday from 5:30 to 6 again, exclusively here on The Fan during football season. It's brought to you by BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer where relationships matter, BMWPortland.com. I want to get to some Antonio Brown discussion with you, but let's start with Oregon-Auburn. The Oregon loss to Auburn was blank to you.
Ooh, wow. What's that game show that Alec Baldwin hosts right now, the remake? Right?
I don't know.
I think it's, I can't remember. It just reminded me of that. Sorry. My mind is all over the place.
You're playing
right
a
now.
Game show right now.
There you go. The Oregon loss was frustrating.
Yeah. It really was.
And I won't say deflating, and I'm not going to go jump off a cliff here because let's be honest. Has the Pac-12 had a one loss representative in the tournament or in the college football playoff for the last couple of years? No. They haven't, but that's not to say that with Washington's transfer quarterback and the way they looked the first week and Stanford playing well and Washington State playing well, that the Pac-12 can't be a respectable conference at the end of the season. Now, that being said, there are always, and there have always been, one-loss teams in the playoff. So if your loss at the end of the year is to an SEC team on the road, you know, that's a respectable loss. It doesn't take anything away from Pac-12 play. It doesn't take anything away from the Rose Bowl. But if you're coming at it from a national championship perspective, does it put a dent in it? Sure. Can you make any other mistakes? No. But you're not going to go jump off a cliff right now. I think the more frustrating thing for me is, and I understand 16 of your top 17 wide receivers were gone, right? That, and Coach Cristobal is trying to establish an identity and a toughness, and we're going to run the football, and we're going to be smash mouth, and, you know, a strength coach, and everything is about to get that. And I understand that you had a 21-6 lead, and you're trying to do the, let's call it, smart thing by milking the clock and playing that game. But at a certain point, you have to say, or at least, you know, my perspective is you've got the best, arguably the best quarterback in the country who decided to come back for his senior year. Put it in his hands. And that was the part that got me, was the fact that it felt like it was never put in Justin's hands. And I was so encouraged. The first drive of the game. Go down, third and goal, rolls to the right, nothing open. What does he do? Last year, throws it out of the back of the end zone. This year, tucks his shoulder and goes for it. Called a touchdown originally, reversed the call, so fourth down on the half-yard line. That's a moot point. The point is that he put the team on his back and said, I don't care what's going on right now. I'm going to get in the end zone. This is why I'm back. This is why you believe in me. This is why I'm going to be the first pick of the draft. From that moment, I thought, okay, here we go. He's got it. This was the missing. You know, we've talked about Herbert has every physical tool out there. He's 6'6", 235 pounds, runs like a deer, can make every throw. But there was always that little piece, like he hadn't been given a chance to say, "This is my team. Get out of my way." That was it. And then he didn't get a chance to finish it, and I think that was frustrating.
So this is Joey Harrington in studio with us on The Fan every Friday now. There is some debate as to how much slack on the rope he has versus how much he just can do his own thing. Or maybe I'm saying the same thing, but in other words, you've been in his shoes. How much are Cristobal and Arroyo letting him read the line of scrimmage and just go, man, be Justin Herbert. You're good. We trust you. Versus what it kind of seems like sometimes, that they may be holding him back a little bit and he's only generally running what they want.
Well, I can't speak to that. I mean, you can't sit on a TV screen and watch and truly know. But you would think at this point that you would, because there's certain ways to do it. There's a way to, you know, you can tell your quarterback, hey, at any time you can change a play. That rarely happens in college football. That rarely happens. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers will do it, you know, once you get into the NFL for a decade.
Did you do it?
In college? Well, that's what I was going to say, is how you do it. Most teams do it in college is they'll put it in some sort of package format, right? So I've got a run to the left, I got a run to the, you know, I got a strong side run, a weak side run, and I have a pass, right? And based on what the defense is showing you, then you make the decision and you go. It's a lot of that stuff, you know, that's big, you know, Ronald McDonald and, you know, butterflies and, you know, golf clubs on the big sign on
the giant signs.
On the giant signs, exactly. A lot of that stuff comes from the booth now and they hold up the sign and then they go. I don't know. I think when I say that I would have liked to see them put it in the hands of Justin, I would have liked to see him call
More downfield.
Yeah, when he did throw the ball, it was extremely short.
Yep.
It almost fell into, you know, it's called a 4-minute offense, right? Where you are trying to run the clock all the way down, snap the ball with 2 seconds left, and you're either you're generally running the ball in first and second, or you're throwing short, conservative passes to get 2 or 3 yards, maybe spring one, but keep the clock running. In the first half, they did a really nice job of mixing up the play calls. And what was happening is, you know, you'd put Justin on the edge, you'd give him an opportunity to hit the guy in the flat, you give him an opportunity to run, you were changing his launch point. They did a really nice job of mixing things up, and they did it probably because they were down so many wide receivers. In the second half, it just kind of got stale, and Auburn did a nice job of shifting to a man coverage, a press coverage, to disrupt the release of the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think that Oregon adjusted as well and gave Justin the opportunities to still make, because there's still ways to make those plays, right? There's still ways to make those calls to give Justin the opportunity to be the guy. And that's the frustrating part is he comes back to be the guy. Let him be the guy.
Especially that game.
Yes.
Right? This is Joe Harrington in studio. We'll talk about in-game management for the Ducks staff. Excuses or just explanations? And then I want to get to some Antonio Brown. We'll do that on the other side when we return here on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back in studio. Joey Harrington, former Duck quarterback, played in the NFL many, many years. He is with us every Friday here on 1080 The Fan, brought to you by BMW of Portland. Tune in every Friday at 5:30. So the Ducks staff, you were talking about Herbert and not unleashing him, and I think Marcus Arroyo admitted, he said, you know, after the game, I thought he was very honest. Actually, it was the next, I think it was Monday. He said, hey, I think we should have just trusted those receivers a little bit more. So yeah. I think we all agree there, including Arroyo. Explanations for why something happened often get viewed as excuses. But in my opinion, this staff, Cristobal, Arroyo, and even Avalos to some extent, are pretty inexperienced. And I wonder, with your perspective in the NFL too, having played for a lot of different coordinators, head coaches, in your experience in football, there's no handbook for in-game management. You just have to experience it. Is it an excuse to say that this staff is just... they're a little green, and they'll learn, they'll get better? Or is it a flaw that in-game management and little issues like that keep coming up, and in this case, cost them another big game?
I disagree with the idea that in-game management cost them this game. I think the core, you know, what people were talking about was, you know, snap. Well, if you snapped it at 15 seconds instead of in 2 seconds, well, there's your 13 seconds, which shouldn't have been on the clock at the end of the game. And then you burned a timeout because you called two in a row and because they didn't understand the rule. That's all a moot point for me, right? The what I think lost this game is the fact that they, I don't want to say they got conservative, but at the end of the third quarter with a 2-touchdown lead, they went into essentially a 4-minute mode. And so I think you can look back and draw all those, well, 9 seconds wouldn't have been there if he would have done this and then he would have done that. Yeah, there are a lot of mistakes during the game, but I don't think in-game management cost them this game.
See, I think what you're saying, we probably just have two different definitions. I think that in-game management is what you're talking about in terms of reading the game, understanding, hey, how are we going to finish this off? And sort of, I guess, having that knack.
Okay, but see, you see it as in-game management, and I see it as coach trying to establish a culture. Right. So what, from my perspective, what I saw was a team with a 21-6 lead who had had some success running the football. CJ Verdell had done a really nice job running downhill. Dye had been a nice change of pace. You got a veteran offensive line. And Cristobal has said this numerous times that I'm going to instill a culture of toughness. And so to me, it looked like a coach trying to instill a culture of toughness and let's pound it down their throat. Right. Let's pound it. Short pass. Pound it. And I just don't think it worked. Right. I think that took the momentum. I think that deflated the energy that they had. And I don't think that's mismanagement or in-game mismanagement.
Stubborn?
Potentially. Maybe you could call it that. I think of mismanagement of a game being, you know, burning 2 timeouts and had they needed a timeout at the end of the game and didn't have one. That's mismanagement to me. To me, this was just, And maybe it was, I mean, is that the right word? I don't know.
It's
I don't
a failure
know.
To read the
because
game.
I think of stubborn and doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Well, especially fourth and inches.
Right.
With Shuck in there. What about that play? I mean, that's the quintessential play that you're talking about. I mean, everybody, Auburn sold out on that play. Everybody right. knew what they were running, and it's Cristobal saying, nope, we've got this offensive line. Our quarterback's on the sideline. Go get it. And it's,
well,
in the end, it's a mistake.
It's a mistake because it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's
and if,
true.
Right.
That's
and
true.
If they do get
well,
6 inches, then it is it's an affirmation of
true.
That, of that toughness they're trying to establish.
No question. And what I was saying about that is it's like, sometimes we expect the right decision every time as fans, and it's ridiculous
right.
to do that. I mean, coaches are going to make mistakes. My whole point with this is it's, I don't know if it's an excuse or it's just an explanation for why they lost. I think it's more of an explanation for why they lost. I just feel like this coaching staff can get much better in game, reading the game, play calling with Arroyo, Cristobal clock management, just things
Agreed.
Like this. These are little things that can cost you games, and I just think they're a little green.
I would agree with that statement.
And
I don't think that cost them this
right.
game,
okay.
but I do. But I would agree with that statement.
Hangover effect, you played, I mean, can a really tough loss like that out of the gate, and then you've got an opponent that you should beat, 3 touchdown favorites, is it easier for that loss to linger, or is it easier to bounce back because you're so pissed about that loss?
I think that this next game will tell us a lot about this Duck team. If they come back and put it to Nevada, It's gonna be in the rearview mirror, and this is gonna be a good team. If they come out and struggle, remember a couple years ago, it wasn't not Cal Northridge, but it was
UC Davis.
UC Davis, yes, where they just didn't look sharp,
mm-hmm.
and you could chalk it up to like, oh, first game. I think you're gonna see you'll be able to tell a lot about this team from this next game. I think you'll be able to see a lot of talent. You know, what you'll be able to tell, how good is this defense, right? How good is this defense really? Because they look pretty fantastic for 3 quarters against Auburn. You'll be able to see, okay, how good is this offensive line? Are they just dominating up front? And I think that's going to be more of the, because yeah, like I said at the beginning, this was a tough loss, but it doesn't derail the season by any means. And I know for a fact that the players don't feel that way. So I don't think this week's performance is going to be hangover effect. I think you'll be able to see what kind of team this Oregon squad is going to be this year.
Well, it looks like Antonio Brown is Hey-o. Back. He unfollows Derek Carr and the Raiders on Instagram. Everybody thinks it's over. Raiders hold all the cards. They're probably
I love
just
how
gonna...
Instagram is the determining no, factor.
That's a headline.
Uh-huh.
So the Raiders hold all the cards. They're probably going to, he's screwed up enough this preseason that they're just going to boot him and void the contract. Lo and behold, Drew Rosenhaus gets a hold of him, says, hey, you realize you have to make it to week 1 to get paid. Oh, now we have tearful apology. How often do you see this in the NFL? This is a pretty extreme example, but when you played, how many guys are like this? And did they screw up in how they handled this? I get he's a prima donna and he's a pain in the ass, but at the same time, that guy puts up numbers when he's on the field. Isn't there some placating that needs to happen?
Well, it's an interesting point. There are two questions. One, how many guys are like this? And this I'm going to qualify as knuckleheads. I'd say 37%.
That's high.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Because you gotta be a bit of a knucklehead to play football, right?
True.
Let's be honest, right?
Good point.
You gotta be a bit of a knucklehead to throw your body against a brick wall. But you had to know if you're the Raiders what you're getting into, right? And I saw an interesting article today about how, just this exact point, that this isn't a unique explosion from Antonio Brown. This is something that Pittsburgh had been allowing to happen really since 2012 was...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.